100 years ago, the dark wizard Hollowell raised an army and tried to conquer the world. He was stopped by an unlikely hero, Sheriff Aesop Stormwood. As Hollowell died, he prophesied that he would be reborn twice more and rise again. Stormwood looked him in the eye and said if Hollowell did, his descendants would strike him down. Sheriff Aesop Stormwood went on to form Stormwood and Associates to make sure they'd be ready for Hollowell's returns, a private detective security and federally licensed magic users agency. 25 years ago, Hollowell returned for the first time, and a Stormwood made good on Aesop's promise. But the third coming of Hollowell may not be so far in the future. But the young Raz Stormwood just might know it's coming, and she plans to be ready. Previously on Stormwood and Associates, our plucky heroes, many moons ago in a job for Prupip Technologies, recovered a cell phone of Jack Piper, who the tech billionaire who is secretly a servant of the dark wizard Hollowell, which included a whole bunch of coded script. They also recovered a flash drive with some sort of technomancy on it that would be illegal for them to use. So, technically, they haven't used it. But they have been trying to... But Kel, their intrepid hacker, has been trying to decrypt the coded messages on the cell phone. Oh yeah, also, there's a Dark Wizard Hollowell, which you probably heard about in the previous intro, which happened right before the previously. That's a whole situation. Our scene opens. It is a morning at Stormwood and Associates. Just a typical day. Kel is working hard at his computer. The intern Brian is eating coffee, just straight out of the can, and it's really uncomfortable to look at. And we pan across the busy offices and see our intrepid heroes hard at work, or at least playing computer solitaire.
Babbitt is playing analog solitaire.
Ah. I mean, I guess. I'm not digging out a card shuffling sound effect, though, for the show. You guys can just imagine that. Is everybody at their desks in the office, pretty much?
Yep.
All right. So, Kel, whose desk is out in the kind of lobby foyer, separated by glass from the rest of you, even though he still insists that he's not the receptionist, suddenly bolts upright with his arms, with his fists in the air. You see him waving dramatically. One of the interns goes out, not Brian, one of the competent interns, goes out there to see what's going on. He grabs the young woman by the collar of the shirt, yells something excited, tosses her back, and she runs back in to the main office. And it's Jenny, the chirpy, happy one. Kel said he needs to talk to everybody in the conference room.
Okay.
I'm gonna go, and she goes around and tells you all to meet in the conference room.
Bill saves his work for about the 11th time in the last hour. He's really worried about that.
I'm assuming you're all going to go there.
Yeah, I'm going to go there.
All right, cameras pan as the lacquered wood office with its high ceilings and hardwood floors looks, of course, beautiful on screen as Kel walks into the conference room to meet you all, holds up a familiar-looking cell phone, not his, but Jack Piper's from several episodes ago, and he just goes, "I have cracked the frickin' code. I have done it."
Excellent.
Okay. So. I don't have a lot. I've only gotten... it looks like they're using a shifting cipher, so it's going to take me a while to get through all the messages, but I know how to shift the cipher now. So it's just a matter of time. But I did decode a handful of messages, and what I have found is slightly concerning.
Okay.
The message, I'm going to paraphrase. I mean, you can read it yourself, but I'm going to paraphrase. The message says, it has been unleashed in the town of Phoebe.
What has been unleashed?
That is a large question that I do not have the answer. The response was, good, all is going to plan. But
well, that's fine.
It included coordinates, and the coordinates are for a town called Phoebe that's up in the mountains. It's about a 3-hour drive from here. So,
okay.
Something is up in the town of Phoebe.
I mean, well, I mean, I guess we could investigate. Are we getting paid for it?
We're not getting paid, but I don't know if you've noticed, but Stormwood and Associates, there's a kind of a principal reason for this entire stupid agency to exist.
It's not stupid.
But it's not stupid. Of course it's not stupid. I've been raised in this agency. My whole life has been surrounded by this agency. I'm just saying that we sometimes, Bill, do things not because we're gonna get paid. And thankfully that barn find thing, the amount that did clear out of that whole thing, we got the money out of their account before their whole financial collapse. We're good on money for this.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad I sat that one out.
Yeah, we all are. Anyways. we got like, okay, so we got to go, right? Right, boss?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're going. Let's figure out what we're going to bring with us and when we're going to head out. Probably we should go as soon as possible, yeah?
Yeah, I think it's time for us to hit the road.
Okay.
Theme song. Sorry. If there's a problem, they can solve it. If you need to find someone, they can do it. Stormwood & Associates is a detective, security, and federally licensed magic users agency. If you need help, they'll be there. But don't get in their way, or else you'll get caught in the eye of the storm. All right, so you guys, it's about a three. The town of Phoebe is about a 3-hour drive away from San Ricardo. It's a rural, remote mountain town.
Alrighty.
Cool. Let's go.
Road trip.
I have trail mix.
Shotgun.
Oh, so you're not gonna? I guess I can frickin' drive. Assuming you guys are gonna take one of the fleet of black SUVs.
Yep.
Yep.
All right. You guys are obviously, you know, this is gonna probably be a multi-day trip, so I'm assuming you guys have day bags for go bags ready for clothing. So we don't need to address that. But what equipment are you gonna bring with you?
As always, the collapsible wand. I've got my trail mix, bug spray, some light reading with some new spells that I might want to try out.
All right, Babbitt?
Backpack, lockpick, rope, hook, carabiner. Don't need my snorkel, I think. Yeah, you know what? That's I'm good.
So you're not bringing your snorkel?
Well, the way you're saying it now, I feel like I have to. I'm going to regret this, but no, I'm not bringing my snorkel.
Okay. I'm not saying I have anything planned, but wouldn't it be funny if I did? All right, Raz?
Gun with plenty of ammo, grappling hook, zip line, gonna bring an ice pick, probably some brass knuckles. I'm writing this all down so I don't forget.
That's why I ask.
Cigs, a lighter, chapstick. Probably some rope and a climbing harness, just in case.
And so you bring your grappling hook gun?
Yeah.
Okay. I couldn't remember if you said that or not.
I did, but good reminder.
Sorry, I sometimes am, you know, paying attention and writing things down at the same time.
Yep.
All right. And Kel,
find some beef jerky.
Kel's just going to bring basic supplies and his gun because he's from New Jersey. And, yeah. So, you get in the car, get in the SUV with Kel driving, Raz in the front seat, and Bill and Babbitt in the back. Bill and Babbitt in the back is the name of their duet album.
Their smooth jazz duet album.
Yeah, as you drive out of the city, I'll take the highway into the country and out into the mountains, and the drive is pretty normal, uneventful. Nothing really all that exciting happens. Kel makes you listen to podcasts you probably don't really care about. Probably some tech podcast hosted by a dwarven version of Leo Laporte. eventually you arrive at a gas station outside of the town of Phoebe. You're about 2 miles away, but you need gas because this is an SUV and it's inefficient. Mm-hmm. As Kel is filling up the pump, you see standing next to a red hatchback about two pumps away is a familiar-looking young red-headed woman who you may remember as being a member of the ARC team from several adventures ago.
Wait a minute.
She's looking down at her phone.
I get out of the car and walk up to her.
She glances up at you.
How's it going?
No. No. You are not getting this bounty. No.
Bounty?
As she says that, Barrow Mackay walks out of the actual gas station holding a, like, huge pile of, like, Slim Jims and, couple cans of Pringles and a couple of sodas.
They didn't have they didn't have any Diet Cokes. I guess you've Diet Pepsi's okay.
It's fine.
Babbitt's gonna get out of the car to what? Back up his boss.
Like, you are not getting this bounty. I'm Barrow Mackay, and I'm getting this bounty.
We don't want your paper towels.
What? It's a brand of paper towels. If you actually did the shopping for the office, you'd know that.
I'm Barrow Mackay.
Yeah, you could stop saying that, we know. What bounty?
Don't play dumb. The bounty on the bank robber spotted in he's supposed to be in Phoebe. We're getting him.
Yeah, we're getting him too.
Bill looks noticeably uncomfortable.
So we're the ones who are going to collect this bounty, and you are not.
That's right, because I'm Barrow Mackay.
Yeah, we're going to get the bounty before you do, so.
Babbitt.
What?
Are you ready to go, Barrow?
Yes. Oh, I'll go. Here's your Slim Jim.
And they get into the red hatchback. And they drive away.
See you there. I wave as they drive away, smiling.
Am I the only person concerned that we're not entirely sure where there is?
Well, I mean, yeah. Sorry, I have to. Too many voices. All right. So, look, it's they're going to Phoebe. I don't know what they're looking for in Phoebe. I don't know who they're looking
for. They're looking for a bank robber.
Yeah, looking for. I don't care about a bank robber. Do you care about a bank robber?
No, but it's good to know what they're up to.
Do you care about a bank robber?
We could get paid.
Oh, it's true. But Bill, do you care about a bank robber?
Bank robbers are terrible people who probably ruin their families. So no, I don't.
That was oddly specific. Okay, so let's just go. We gotta go find out what the hell's going on in this town, and if we got Yakko and Wacko running around looking for some bank robber, that's not our problem.
Which one's not?
The car.
I just want to keep an eye on them in case they get in our way. That's all.
Well, it's not a big town. It's only like 1,500 people, so.
All right, fine. Let's go looking for the dumb bank robber.
Okay. So, yeah, let's get back into the car. And you're going to drive towards the town of Phoebe. Roll me a D10.
I got a 1.
I got a 6.
I got a 1.
All right, so Bill, you feel fine. I got a roll for... And Kel feels fine. But the other two, like, the instant, like, you're about to enter the town and you just get a weird, like, kind of shudder where something's not right as you enter the town.
This place creeps me out.
It's...
I don't like it.
Look, I know that people in small towns are supposed to be racist, but you're goblins. It's a mining town. You know, it should be comfortable people.
Nah, there's like a weird vibe to this whole place. It's not just the people.
She gets it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
These guys are being weird. All right. So, as you pull in to the city, it's not that much of a city. There's a main street and of reasonable length, and then there's a couple of side roads off each direction. The town is kind of nestled in a valley between two mountains. There's a mining operation that operates out of this town, and that's what employs most of the people here. you notice as you drive, and it's the middle of the day, the streets are completely empty. Like, there are a couple of cars parked, but there are no people out and about. Kel pulls you over and just kind of in front of what looks like it should be like a diner.
Huh. This is odd. Okay, no one's here. We should go home now.
Anybody want lunch?
I could eat.
I do like food.
We head into the diner.
All right. You head into the diner. As you walk into the diner, it looks fairly ordinary. It's just completely empty. Like, there's a long, you know, there's a long counter you can sit at with stools, and then there are some booths. And the lights are on, and there's, you know, just some booths around the place, and, you know, there are menus sitting out, but there are just no people that you can see.
Is there a bell on the counter that I can summon a waitress?
Sure, there's a bell.
I ding the bell and see if anybody comes out from the back.
All right. So, you ding the bell. You hear from the back kind of a weird noise. And, but suddenly kind of rising up behind like a window in the back is, there's a woman who is dressed like a waitress. Roll me a
d10. 3, 1, 10.
All right, and I got to roll for Kel. Most of you, she looks like an ordinary person. Babbitt, there's something wrong with this person. Well, hiya, hun. How can I help you? She kind of walks out back through the door, and now she's behind the counter.
So she just, like, seems weird to me?
There's something very wrong here. You don't know what it is. It's just, like, something is very wrong with this person. It's just an instinctive gut feeling.
I side over next to Raz and go, you feeling this weird thing?
No, not from her. What do you think?
There's something wrong with this. She's right.
Can I take your order, Hans? Guys want some coffee? I can have Billy. I can have Billy make something for you up on the back on the griddle. You hear another sound suddenly, like kind of rising up. There's now, looks like a cook back there.
Yeah. BLT, extra crispy. What do you guys want?
BLT, extra crispy, Bill. All right.
There's another Suddenly bill here. One. That's going to confuse me.
I apologize to you, the player, for as the GM, for that's the name that came out.
All right. I want the mac and cheese.
One Wisconsin mac. Suddenly there's more food on the griddle.
I'm good, thanks.
Are you sure?
Yep.
You're a little thing. Just barely a snack. Need to fatten up.
No, I'm good.
Please, you'll get stuck in his teeth.
We need to leave.
Kel's just kind of poking at his phone.
Stuck in whose teeth?
I don't know what you're talking about. Teeth? What is... It's just food. It's all just food.
What's just food?
The food.
Food is food. How profound.
That's right, little one. She eventually, the food comes up to the counter and is placed on the counter. Now eat.
Do not eat.
Are you okay, Babbitt?
No, I'm not. Not okay here.
Aren't y'all gonna eat?
I pushed the plates on the floor.
Oh, that is wasteful.
Plates
that
crash
is so wasteful.
Onto the floor. Now, hun, that is just rude, little one. I think you need to clean it up.
I whip out a 20. Here you go. We're gonna leave now.
Someone needs to teach you some manners, little man.
All right, this is getting kind of vaguely ominous.
Who's that someone going to be?
The cook, you didn't see him move out from the back. But the cook's now behind the counter, too. You're not really sure how he got there.
This is getting more ominous.
I quickly grab the plates and the food, slap them on the table, grab my buddies, and back away from them towards the door, with my back towards the door, facing them the whole time.
Well, it's so you can't... He slapped the food forward. It was on the counter. So the food went behind the counter.
Oh.
You need to get back here and clean that up, young man.
Nope, not going to do that.
A lady said to do a thing, you do the thing.
Many apologies.
The cook has a large knife in his hand. Again, you don't remember him picking that up.
Wow, this is getting unpleasant.
You hear the door ding open as behind you. There is a average-looking person in the door. He walks in silently, sits down in one of the booths. It's interesting because there are windows on both sides of the door and you didn't see him approach.
Okay.
Sorry to be of any trouble.
Let's just leave.
Have a nice day.
All right, you guys are going to exit?
Yeah.
All right, they let me... Roll me a d10.
4.
5.
Yep. Throws up 3.
All right, they let you leave. You're now back out on the street. As you look back into the diner, it appears to be empty again. So
you guys didn't feel anything?
Well, I didn't feel anything, but that was fucking weird.
That was fucking weird.
It got super awkward back there.
They are not normal.
No. Nope.
They don't appear to exist anymore if you look back in.
Yeah.
Okay, you know what? I think something's going on in Phoebe.
I think something is going on in Phoebe. I also do not feel that we are fully equipped to deal with this. So
no.
Yeah.
Let's
find out some more.
Why don't we can someone else drive? I want to do some research.
Yeah, I'll drive. Where are we going?
Just back to the gas station, maybe? Things were normal at the gas station.
Yeah.
Gas station's good.
All right. You get back into the car, I presume?
Yep.
Uh-huh.
All right. You're going to turn the car around and drive out of town?
Yep.
If it'll let us.
All right, so... Kyle's hitting the nail on the head there. As you attempt to drive back out of town, where the gas station should be, you suddenly find yourself pulling back into the town of Phoebe.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, so this isn't good.
No, this is very bad. Also, the internet went out. So that's fun. Do you have cell signal? I don't have cell signal.
No.
Negative.
I got nothing.
So we got nothing.
Like, my instinct tells me to, like, go look in the local library. But I don't know if I trust anything in this town. You know?
I played Silent Hill. I know this is gonna go down. I'm right? Scared.
Yeah, I've seen that movie.
Something bad has happened.
But I feel like that's gonna be one of the only places we can get some fucking answers.
No. All right. So, thankfully, because the town's not too big, you are able to locate the library pretty easily. It's just, I mean, it's on the main street. So that's where you're going?
I guess.
Yes.
All right. So the parking lot for the library, are you going to park on the street or are you going to park in the lot?
I think in the lot if there's space.
All right, so there's a lot behind the building.
Okay.
As you drive around to the back of the library, you see a red hatchback that you saw earlier today parked in...
Thank God.
Good.
Parked in... the car is currently empty, but...
Yep.
I park next to it anyways.
Okay. You guys going to get out and go into the library?
Yes.
All right. The library is a large, probably built in the 60s or 70s, so that kind of industrial design that often permeates those buildings with, like, a dark brown brick. Not a ton of windows, but, like, some. But there is an entrance... In kind of a, it's a brutalism to the architecture, for those of you who know architecture. Super fun. There's glass doors, and you guys gonna go in?
Yep.
All right.
Don't have much of a choice.
So the doors are unlocked. It's the middle of the day, the library should be unlocked. And it is, but all the lights are off in here. There is a little bit of lights because there's a high row of windows that aren't very tall that are like probably 10 feet up in the air letting light in. So you can kind of see, but none of the overhead lighting is on and it's pretty dark in like most of the area here. You walk in and there is, you can make out the desk, the check-in desk, and you can tell that there are like there are rows and rows of books, and then kind of like an open area in the middle where there's like seating and stuff. Roll me a d10.
Three.
Nine.
All right, and I got to roll for Kel. All right, so Bill, you do hear some noise off in the distance, like movement. Oh, and your comms are working. I should be clear. There's no cell service, but your comms do work together.
Yeah, I'd imagine they're localized.
Yeah. They worked under San Ricardo Bay. They're going to work in the library. So yeah, Bill, you hear some noise off in the distance.
Oh! Huh. You guys hear that?
No.
What?
Just some noise. I'm hearing some stuff.
Could be our buddies.
Maybe. Hopefully. Never thought I'd be hoping to see Barrow Mackay.
What direction were they?
So, Bill, they are deep, the sound was deep into the library.
It's definitely coming from the library. It's a ways in.
Well, lead us towards it.
Okay.
Okay.
Bill takes lead awkwardly.
So you lead awkwardly in, and it's pretty dark in here. You are having a hard time seeing where you're going. So I'm going to say roll me a d10. This is just your ability to navigate a library in the dark.
2.
Okay. You almost immediately walk into a chair, kind of fall over it. And you are having a hard time figuring out where you're going.
I pull out my phone and turn the flashlight on.
Okay. All right. So as you do, you're walking further in. Bill, with the light, you're able to kind of hear where it was. You're also kind of hearing a little bit more noise kind of coming from all over, too, though, at the same time.
No one else is hearing this.
Oh, everyone's hearing the...
Okay.
The noise is kind of coming from all around. It's different from what you were hearing, though, before, and you're still heading towards what you were hearing before. All right. As you get back into the corner where you heard the movement noise, you see sitting on the ground is the red-headed woman whose name you have not learned yet. I've said it aloud in the game several times as NK, but no one's actually told you that's what her name is. Sitting there, like, kind of looks like she's trying to get her computer to work, and Barrow Mackay is standing there eating a Slim Jim. As they Barrow Mackay turns and looks at you. Turn the light out.
I turn it out.
Suddenly that kind of rustling noise around you stops.
If they show up when they think they're supposed to show up. The lights are off, so they think the library's closed.
Got it. What the hell are they?
Barrow Mackay just kind of shakes his head. The young woman on the floor just kind of looks up and she goes,
I don't have any freaking clue.
Can you guys get any internet? I can connect to the Wi-Fi, but I can't get any signal out of here.
We got nothing. Just our local comms.
Everything is... We walked into the police station, and it was empty, and then suddenly, it was full of very friendly police.
Same for us at the diner.
We're all messed up.
Hard to kill 2 of them. They didn't really die, though. Just changed into other cops.
What?
It's like it's a performance. Like everything is pretending that everything's fine. But it's not real.
But when you attacked them, could you tell what they were made of?
It was like when my sword hit them, it was like flesh. But when they died, they shuddered in the air, like static. And then, like a few minutes later, it reformed. It's the sort of thing that'll fuck you up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds that way.
I'm fucked up.
And we're just like, but, I don't know. I don't know, somewhere in this town, there's gotta be, like, the people didn't all just disappear, right? Like...
Yeah, they must have all gotten turned into,
like,
whatever they are now.
We got a call yesterday about spotting this Patrick Carpathia guy here. So they had working phones yesterday.
Wait, what?
Yeah, the bank robber, Patrick Carpathia, he escaped from prison 2 weeks ago. There's $3 million bounty. The whole reason you guys are here... You're not here for the $3 million bounty?
No, that was just... No, we're not.
No.
What do you mean, Pat escaped?
Bill, do you know who they're talking about? Who?
You could say I sort of knew him. He was my parents' favorite number one son. Patrick the golden boy. Patrick who's good at everything. Patrick the one who everyone needs to be compared to. He was the best and brightest, and everyone thought he was so great. Then he robbed a bank, he ended up in prison, and, oh yeah, my parents divorced. Also, I had really bad athlete's foot for a week afterward, and I'm sure that was his fault too.
Kel's just sort of nervously playing with the red ruby pendant he's always wearing. Just kind of rolling its eyes. Are we gonna so you got a friggin' brother somewhere in this doom town?
Apparently I do. I haven't talked to him in years.
So he was in prison? So, like, hanging out with bad people?
Patrick never was a good people.
But in the town where we had communication with a follower of Hollowell, where the thing happened.
Ah. I'm starting to see what you're getting at.
This was your... Okay. This would have been, like, I don't know, beneficial information.
Look, I don't talk to him. I don't keep up with him because he ruined everything.
But he's a wizard like you.
I am nothing like Pat.
Understand. But he can do some of the things that you can, correct?
Probably.
Yeah, you know he can. He's very talented wizard.
Most of these things he does quite a bit better than me last time I saw him. Actually.
Which means he's very dangerous.
Significantly, noticeably.
You reduce people to piles of dust every other Tuesday.
Not intentionally.
I don't know, it's Friday morning. How many people has Bill dusted today?
Look, I am in a very bad place right now.
You guys seem like you're having problems.
Oh, wow. What amazing insight you're showing. That's astounding. Are you an empath?
No, I'm just not an idiot.
In any case, Bill, your knowledge is very valuable to us right now.
So we think that maybe your brother has something to do with the wackiness. I mean, it was too much of a coincidence that a famous outlaw mage happens to be last seen in a town we can't fucking leave. We're creepy ghost people.
Yeah. And the only people who are not creepy ghost people, other than him, are sitting right here.
Well, I mean, that we've seen so far. True. We haven't. I mean, we've been to the police station here, and we tried to drive out of town.
We've been to the deli, and we also tried to drive out of town.
So there's
I mean, there's a lot of places here.
Wherever we go, it's no surprise that Pat ruined it again.
Are there places that your brother likes to frequent?
I don't know. I imagine cell block 6. Not home.
You do know, Bill, that your brother was always fond of a good bottle.
We should check the bar.
Okay.
Or the bars. Are there more than I don't
there
know?
There are several. This is a mining town. There's a handful of bars.
All right.
There's on Main Street, there's a number of bars, a couple of restaurants, a couple of shops, a couple of churches, and you know, library, town hall, police station.
We should check the bars.
Sounds good. We've just got to make sure that we don't attract any attention.
All right. The young woman stands up, puts her laptop in a satchel, in like a messenger bag. She walks up to Kel and she pulls out her hands. By the way, I'm NK. Kel looks at her strangely, does not take her hand. That's very... God, it's so hard to get so many voices. that is very nice for you. That you were given a name by someone at one point, which means that someone at one point cared about you. And he turns around and walks out.
Babbitt goes up to shake her hand. Says, Hi, NK, I'm Babbitt.
Yeah, sorry I flipped you off that time. And also that I shot at you. And we thought we were on a job and that you guys were thieves.
That's fine. We were on
we
a job.
Thought we were thieves. Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird. Yeah.
You guys ruined my car.
Did we?
Yes.
But did we?
Yes, you did.
You guys were in that nice shiny SUV this time instead of, you know, it looks like it was a positive upgrade.
That's the company's car. That's not my car.
You could have a company car, you bozo. We have a fleet. Did you not read your contract?
You hear Kelly.
I was a new hire.
We don't have money, but we got stuff.
Yeah, we got stuff.
You guys sound like you're a lot of fun. And she's kind of starts following out. Barrel Mackay continues to eat his Slim Jim as he walks out.
I walk with Barrow and I bring out my bag of jerky. Try to do something for a Slim Jim.
It's all right. He's got apparently like 6 or 7 Slim Jims in like his cargo pants pocket. So it's exchange.
Oh, it's the Matador. That stuff's good.
Yeah.
They still make Matador? I don't know. they do in this universe.
In this universe, it's widely available.
Yeah. You guys, all right. So there are a number of bars. So I want you guys to... So who's going to pick which bar you go to?
I can.
Babbitt's going to pick.
All right.
Okay, Babbitt picks.
So okay. Kyle, roll me a d10.
9.
Okay. So there is a bar just down the street. Papa Jack's Saloon. Because those are the first words that popped into my head. Because I didn't think to name the bar ahead of time. But you walk into Papa Jack's Saloon. And it is just jam-packed. There is country music playing. You got some people line dancing. All the tables have, like, people sitting at them. Roll me a d10.
3, 6, 1.
All right, and I got to roll 4. All right, so What was yours again? Guys, sorry. I had to, like, I'm trying to keep like 8 rolls in my head right now. Who had the 3?
That was me.
And who had the 1?
Babbitt.
All right, you two. This looks like a really hopping bar. Everybody else thinks this is a room full of weird people. Except for one guy at the bar seems normal. But his back is to you.
This place is neat.
Bill, roll me a d10.
Okay. Zap, zap. 3.
Yeah, this place is it's a bar. It's just
okay. Cool. So I guess, you know, this is fine. I guess this is where everyone hold up.
I say over comms that, like, this is not fine.
When you say things over comms, you're standing next to all the people you're saying it to over comms. You still say it out loud.
Okay, fine. And tell them this is not fine. There's only one person in here who looks okay.
Are you going to point him out?
Yeah.
All right, Bill, she points to a guy sitting at the bar with his back to you, and he looks really familiar.
Oh, no.
What's going on? What's wrong? No.
Bear Mackay just, like, grabs a beer off of, like, a passing waitress's, you know, tray.
Don't drink that.
Oh, no. What's the worst thing that can happen?
Death.
AK kind of slaps it out of his hand. You guys gonna approach the man at the bar?
Yeah. I will.
Alright, so the guy is... So it's a... man's about 5'10". Black hair. Similar age to Bill. He's wearing a long black coat. And got a couple of, like, bangly bracelets on for some reason. And, like, cowboy boots.
Oh my god, the frickin' cowboy boots.
He's, like, his, all of his clothes are black.
Every day with the black clothes and the cowboy boots.
And they are black cowboy boots. So, you're standing behind him. He's got his back.
Oh, I will try to, elbow my way in up to the bar next to him.
He just kind of glances at you.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. All right. Let me check the rules on something. This guy, you look at him. This guy's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can tell.
This guy's very cool. Like, you think...
Oh my god.
You know, you don't know if you like him or not, but this guy is 100%, if this was a room full of regular people, you would think he is the coolest guy in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you think this guy is awesome.
Oh my god.
How are you doing?
Oh my god, with the deep voice and everything.
For those of you at home, keeping score, he's using Swashbuckle.
Bill, you never said your brother was so cool.
He's not cool. Oh, he's the worst.
He turns around. Bill? What are you doing here, little Billy? You gotta get out of this place. He's, like, holding a bottle of, like, whiskey in his hand.
Yeah, this is pretty terrible. At first that was surprising, but then I found you here, and it's less surprising.
My name is Trey Dorn, and I was your GM for this session, and I've also played Kel and, well, everybody else except for Raz Stormwood, who is played by Gen Proc, Babbitt, who is played by Kyle Johnson, and Bill, who is played by Nick Azumi. Stormwood & Associates is a production of Nerd & Tie. You can find more information at nerdandtie.com. Along with our social media is at Twitter, Nerd and Tie, Tumblr, Nerd and Tie, Facebook/Nerd and Tie. And remember, you can subscribe to this with any place that has podcasts, probably. We'll be on iTunes by the time it's released, maybe. Who knows? But the RSS feed's always out there. And to be continued.